This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Yes, it's time for Just Saying, and joining me as always, breakfast presenter and father of four, Aaron Wright.
Good morning.
That's all we're going to say. Child psychologist from Family Smart, Colette Smart.
Morning, Erica.
Good morning. And author of parenting blog from mousebabes.com, Katrina Rowe.
Good morning.
Hey, you know, I'm always last now.
So. Well, actually, that's true.
Happened here? I know. See,
just basically, me last next week.
Yeah, basically, I can't win, can I, Colette? You're first. That's it. You never complain. Now, today we're going to talk about sex.
We are.
There we go. Okay, so I just want to see how that responded. Now, it's a tricky topic with kids, or is it? Do we make it too much of a big deal when it comes to talking directly with our kids about this topic? Now, Colette, you work with kids all week of all different ages. You've heard it all. You've seen it all. What are the common problems you're seeing in your field in communicating about sex with kids today?
Well, I think the problems that I'm seeing are more with parents being afraid of what to say. So I think parents can get so worked up about saying it perfectly, having the perfect talk, and this one big talk that's just got to happen. And I think sometimes we get so afraid of that we say nothing at all. And so for me, that's more the issue. As parents, we've got so much baggage from our past generation. My grandparents, for example, thought the first time they ever started menstruating was they were dying. Oh. And then our age, our parents kind of possibly threw a book on our bed or just didn't really say much at all. And it was this taboo topic. And so we bring that baggage in when we need to talk to our children.
So as grown-ups, and that's what we are, we've got to get over the embarrassment and actually put the child first and say, we're going to get over our own uncomfortableness just to bring you something of quality here.
Children will talk about making a baby as easily as they will about building a jigsaw puzzle because they don't know any different. They pick up the nuances and the body language from you.
Yeah.
And what I find when I run seminars, I run a lot of sex ed seminars for children. And I find the children that are the most freaked out in my seminar are usually the ones who have never been told before.
Yeah.
The first time they hear it is from me, and they are just totally freaked out about this topic. They go home and they're distressed. So it's more of a process that should be happening over many years.
Well, I feel I should ask you right now then, at what age? What age are we talking about? When we keep saying kids, people listening might be going, what, she's telling three-year-olds? No. What kind of age groups do you normally talk to?
Well, experts, for example, like the World Health Organization, recommend that before 8 years old, your children should know where babies come from.
Mm-hmm.
They should know some of the technicalities. You don't need to go into all the intimacies of sexual relationships, but they do need to know correct terminology. They need to know how a baby got in there.
Yeah.
Even as young as 4 or 5, when mum's having another baby, they might say,
ask questions.
How did the baby get in there? You can give a few words such as the sperm and the egg or the seed and things like that. There's certain terms you can use that are age appropriate, but really before 8 is when experts are recommending children know.
Yeah, and Katrina, what's some of your experiences in this area? I mean, I know your ones are a bit little at the moment, but for yourself.
Yeah, okay. Well, I guess I agree with Colette that it should be kind of a gradual thing, and I think finding out about sex in one hit can be a terrible shock, as she said. And for me, you know, my sisters and I found the Joy of Sex book behind the bedside table, and it was very traumatic, I can tell you. But after that initial shock, my parents became actually quite open about sex.
Yeah.
It is good to acknowledge sex openly as a normal part of life within a marriage context. And, you know, I think answering questions honestly, all that stuff is probably better than like the one-off birds and the bees talk, because the fact is, in our culture, sex is everywhere.
And so if we don't
do it, if we leave it too late, they just pick it up somewhere else.
Yeah. Okay, Aaron.
Let me tell you how my parents told me about the birds and the bees.
Oh, good.
So I was 7, I think. We're in the car. Mum just took me out. It revealed a whole heap of truths, home truths or whatever. She gave me, which was distressing, gave me a book, and that was it. I don't think I read the book. It was some little kiddie book with fairies and stuff. I don't know. In year 5, on the way home, a boy had a rather vulgar conversation with me, and I said, what are you talking about? And then he was, I went home and I said to my parents, why didn't you ever tell me this? And they said, but we gave you the book.
Fair. Yeah, all right. So when we come back, we might talk about, they hear it from you or they're going to hear it from somebody else. We'll be right back. All right. This is Just Saying with Aaron Wright, Colette Smart and Katrina Rowe, and, you know, just talking about sex today, and it's such a good thing to be able to talk about this so openly and honestly. Aaron was just sharing how he first heard about it. And it leads to the question, if you don't tell your kids, some other child who is uninformed is going to tell your kids.
Yeah. A vulgar year five boy, as it so happened to be.
And, vulgar. A great word.
Oh, yeah, it's great. It's great. Look, something the school my daughter goes to, all my kids will go to, and we've had the policy of, we don't have cute little names for things.
Yep, good.
We call it as it is because I think that's wise.
What things, Aaron? What are you talking about?
No, we do that too. We've got that too.
Go, Katrina. I knew you'd do that. Yeah, look, it hasn't come up yet, but I think if things do, I think the conversation, 7 or 8, as you were saying, Colette, about the World Health Organization stuff, makes good sense.
Yeah.
But it would be something that there'll be no silly books, go away and read that.
Yes. Process it for yourself. That's a bit full on. Yeah. And I just remember for myself, it was never a barrier. Like, because I had a really cool relationship with my mum. And so one day I just outright said it. She outright told me it was great. Yeah. And I think the best relationship you have with your kids, that'll be so cool to talk to you. Because they're not
so
going to be.
I'm so glad you said that.
I just thought of it then. I was just like, you know, when I think about Lily, I think, yeah, we're mates. And when it happens, it'll be cool. But I guess if you have some distance there, it'll be harder to breach, possibly.
Mm. And I think when children know that their parents are able and willing to talk to them about sensitive topics, your relationship with your children develops.
Mm.
And, you know, you will have differences in children. There are some children in my family. One of my children is very open and chats wherever we are. Mm. Our favorite place, I always say, our favorite place for some reason is when we're unpacking the dishwasher. I have no idea why. That's it. My other child is very private. And so as parents, you can't just assume that old saying, oh, well, they'll ask when they're ready, because some children won't ask.
Yeah.
So you have to recognize the age, think, well, it's about time they knew things, and just give them little snippets of information and help them to become more comfortable with it. I had a mum at one of the seminars I ran a few weeks ago. She said her daughter's like that. She's quite awkward when she talks about her. So she just talks about it. So she still talks with her, but then she does provide books. So she's not someone who's just put a book on her bed, but she knows her daughter's a reader. So they chat, and then she says, well, here's a book that will give you a bit more information. Yeah. And then they talk a bit more after she thinks her daughter's read the book.
Well, it's understanding where your child's at, isn't it? And how about your girl, Katrina?
Yeah, well, my daughter's only in kindy, and already they're talking about boyfriends.
I know. What is that?
And my daughter has a boyfriend, she says. And there is one girl who has actually been kissing a boy on the lips in her class. And so I told my daughter that, look, you really shouldn't be doing that. You're too young for that. And last weekend I overheard this beautiful conversation between Kaylee and her best friend where Kaylee said, you're not allowed to kiss on the lips, only your mummy or your daddy or your sister. And then her little friend said, only when you get married, then you can kiss on the lips. So, you know, I think that's kind of an age-appropriate thing for a five-year-old to know that there's something different about kissing on the lips. You know, I don't want to kissing boys on the lips yet. But she knows that it is something that down the track it will happen.
And when you bring up that the kids kissing on the lips, we are seeing that more and more as psychologists these days, where children are very aware. It's from billboards to iPads to you name it, sex is out there. And so if we are not talking to our children, everybody else is. And I would like to be the first one talking to my child before everybody else.
Before a vulgar year five boy.
Yes. Yes.
I actually just want to ask a very quick question before I go. Boys and girls, is there a difference in how we approach? Sorry, I've just thrown that out there if anyone has.
No, I wouldn't say there's a difference in obviously some of the things that you tell boys and girls at certain ages would vary slightly. But I still think boys and girls need to know things about the opposite sex. And that's the mystery that I find so many teenage boys say, girls are such a mystery. Well, they are anyway. But
yeah, good luck.
But they do need to know about the opposite sex. And I mean, I do things like in my seminars, actually hand around to year six boys some feminine hygiene products, and they are beautiful with it. I wouldn't do it with year 8 boys because they'd be throwing it around the room. But year 6 boys are actually genuinely, they are genuinely interested. And I think this might be the only time they're ever shown that. And then we talk through what it's for and things like that. And so boys are interested. And so what experts, even James Dobson says, around 10 years old, you should still have the big talk. It shouldn't be the first one. But it's a time where before they reach teenagehood and they're very awkward and they may be embarrassed, to have told them everything from dangers of pornography to you name it, tell them about it at that age. And I think we need to really be talking to our children about these things constantly up until that age and afterwards.
Oh, this has been fantastic. But Colette, just one more thing before we go.
I just thought something that I have to mention is that I think one of the issues that we forget about in sex education is that sexuality education isn't just about sex. Mm. We forget so often to talk to our children about the relationship, the emotional and mental bonding that happens between people. And that is, to me, that's actually the most important section of sex and intimacy between a couple. Mm. And so I think we've got to be talking to our children about those things. And as parents, the World Health Organization has found that parents who talk to their children young, those children are less likely to go out and experiment, not more likely. And I think parents can be so afraid of talking that they think, I might give my child a license to go out and do it, where the opposite is actually true. Yeah. So talk to your children.
Awesome. That is the best possible advice I think I've heard in a long, long time. Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Colette. And thank you, Katrina.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.